Hi, just a quick add-on. Basically, a few tech issues in this episode. We had to record it a bit on the fly, and we used a laptop that we weren't planning to use, which was a bit crap, to be honest, and it caused a few little glitches here and there, but I've managed to iron most of them out. And the main thing was that McVeigh was sat a bit too far away from the mic, so I sound quite a lot clearer than him. He sounds like he's having a shit in the other room or something. Okay, so apologies for that. And also, it was good to have Andy on last episode, and I said he'd be back. Sadly, he's not back in this one, and I don't think he'll be on the Batman special because we've got quite a lot to cover. But definitely episode 5, I'll get Andy back for a bit of a UK horror scene section again, get him doing a couple of film reviews, that kind of stuff. So for now, let's kick it. Okay, hello, welcome to episode 3. Bit of a hungover Meat for the Beast.
Meat.
I'm Beastmaster Jim Connolly.
I'm Beastmaster James McVeigh.
He's back in action.
Yeah.
After a brief sabbatical.
Yeah.
One pod, motherfucker.
It was out of my hands.
How's it going?
It's good. I feel refreshed. We've had a medicinal McDonald's.
Yeah.
Give me my job back. Let's talk some shit.
We're primed for action. I've got a bit of a sore throat because I've been rocking the night before. But here we go. So we're gonna do the roundup. It's like the period of the year where all the superhero type films and blockbusters are coming out. So let's start Captain America 2.
Captain America 2.
Yeah.
The joint second best Marvel movie for my money.
Big talk there.
Well, not joint best. The joint first best. Sorry, not second best.
Okay, elaborate.
Iron Man 3 is amazing, and I know you're not that much of a fan.
Yeah, it is alright. It's a bit of a Robert Downey Jr. Stand-up routine with a metal man occasionally.
Well, it had its flaws, but it was nice to see Shane Black get after all these years.
Okay.
Shane Black is he wrote Lethal Weapon, the highest paid scriptwriter at the time.
Okay.
Played Hawkins in Predator, the guy with the pussy jokes.
Oh, of course, yeah,
he's an incredible writer, and yeah, it's nice to see him get given something worthwhile. But back on topic, Captain America 2.
Everyone's raving about it.
Yeah, it felt I think that people said it was like a 70s political thriller, and I think it's got that feel.
But isn't Cap a bit of a? He's got the A on his head. For me, he kind of stands for A-hole.
Yeah, I think
I'm not really a Cap fan.
Me neither. That's what I think. We've said this before. I'm a DC person. I'm quite happy to enjoy Marvel's works as they're delivered to me on a semi-regular basis in cinematic form.
Yeah.
So I'm quite happy, and I think they've done a good job with dialect, because obviously America, they're not exactly like their kind of politics and shit. They're kind of like you can't be pro-America these days. Do you know what I mean?
It's a bit harder, isn't it?
Yeah. So I think they've done a good job of not really drawing attention to it. It's like, go, you're America! Fuck yeah!
Looks like they've improved the outfit a bit, which is cool.
Yeah. Have you actually watched it?
No, I've seen it, no. No. Oh. But I did want to see it, but it wasn't... It seemed to do really well, but there weren't that many screenings near me.
Really?
Which was odd. Well, I don't know, maybe I'm talking shit. But, so why should I see it then? Why is it good?
It kind of, I don't know, it was a while ago since I've seen it.
Yeah.
It's got a compelling tale, and Captain America's pissed off with, because it's obviously, I think it's post-Avengers, and it's dealing with the fallout of what happened to New York and that, and it's like, are the Avengers actually, are they actually good saviours, are they good to have around, and it's dealing with the fallout of that. I think I suppose the downside is it would have helped if you'd watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I haven't.
No, me neither.
But I think what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. did was, as the series progressed, the events of, say, Thor 2 had ramifications. The events of this are going to tied in with the finale of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which, when you see Captain America 2, you'll realise that's some heavy shit.
Okay.
And it's funny, and it deals with Cap's dealing with coming to terms with modern living. It's good stuff, man.
Okay,
really
cool.
Strong stuff.
Yeah, if the right people have been giving it a thumbs up, and now you have as well. So I'll give it a whirl.
Not like a thumbs up for me means anything.
Although my one issue, the first episode I was banging on about Jason Todd, the second Robin, who's resurrected as a kind of badass. Kind of seems like Marvel have done a little bit of a sneaky one there. Because I don't know who did it first, but don't they essentially do that with Bucky, who's a bit of a Robin ripoff?
Yeah, I got, yeah. Oh shit, of course, the Winter Soldier himself, yeah. Yeah, you're totally right there. But he's, I think they deal with it quite well. He's not like, he's a brainwashed drone, really. He's not just being a psycho like Jason Todd was doing it on purpose. He's actually a gun who's told to do this stuff. And it's only towards the climax he becomes kind of self-aware.
Right.
But
right.
He's badass. He's got a metal arm and he looks smooth.
That sounds good. Okay.
It's really good. It's, like I say, it pisses all over the Avengers. I'll tell you that for free.
Big talk from McVeigh.
Yeah.
Okay, so what came next? Was it Godzilla after that?
Yeah.
I didn't see Spidey.
I
don't want to judge it without seeing it, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's just made for the sake of it, isn't it? Just like the first one was. It's like, oh, we're Sony, we don't want to give up the rights to Marvel, so just let's make a fucking pointless film.
Mm.
So it can step off.
Yeah, I didn't mind the last one they did. I thought it was okay.
Well, that's the best you can say about it.
Yeah.
For what it was fine. But
certainly looks sweet when he's Spidey, though. You can see CG's evolved since the noughties or whatever.
Yeah.
It
would have been quite nice to see that in like big ass cinematic megavision. And I don't think there was enough first person shots of him swinging through New York because that looked mint and it could have done a bit more of that. But couldn't care about Spider-Man 2. I'll watch it when it's on.
Internet. Godzilla. That was going to be, I was hoping that would be the film of the year for me, and I was a bit disappointed, to be honest. I thought it was a bit long winded, a bit boring.
And
Godzilla when he shows up is badass, but the other fucking beasts are a pair of twats.
What are they? Fucking Cloverfield ripoffs.
Yeah, exactly.
Godzilla's got this fucking massive other dudes to fight, like King Ghidorah or Rodan or whatever. I'm not a Godzilla fan, but I'm aware of he's got other people involved.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Big back catalog.
You could have picked anyone instead of you fashion these two shit Cloverfield knockoffs, and then we spend most of the film watching Kick-Ass trail around the world. It's like you've just come back to meet your family after being in the army somewhere, and then you decide to spend the rest of the fucking next 2 weeks just hanging out with other army dudes
and
he around the
just
world.
Hobos along with the fucking army, like it's a free ride or something.
It's
that
ridiculous,
about?
Yeah. And even like when he's talking to the army dudes, it's like, "Hey, man, you're in army, yeah?" It's like, "Yeah, I'm in army." Well, you can join our army gang, and we'll do this army stuff right now. Yeah. Army, fucking shit.
And he getting paid for this work or what? Is he just freestyling it?
Yeah.
Like, how does it work financially? Kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's all a bit bizarre.
That's a good point. They got rid of Bryan Cranston too soon as well. I would the film that I wanted to see was
just for the spoilers.
Hey, the Statue of Limitations. If you've not seen Godzilla by now, then
you're a kid.
Yeah, well,
you deserve to be spoiled.
By the time you've watched Godzilla, you'd be like, "I'm a dickhead. I just watched that." I think that's the problem. Did you see the guy who made it, Gareth Edwards? Did you see Monsters?
I did, and I liked it. It got a bad rap, but I didn't mind it.
Well, I think Godzilla suffered from the exact same problem that I did, that your title is a serious kind of lie. It's like Monsters, the monsters turn up at the end and start shagging on a petrol station. It's like, nice one. We've had to endure 2 hours of these two annoying dickheads.
It's quite a romantic film, though, I think. Yeah, I like what he did, but I know what you're saying. It's not a blockbuster, is it? I think it was masquerading as one.
Yeah. I think
common mistake made by complete idiots who went to see it.
The pacing is just awful, and I think I can understand why you don't want to show Godzilla or your monsters straight off, but when these shit Cloverfield dickheads get more screen time than the dude whose film it is, you gotta ask some questions. To be fair, when Godzilla was on, they treated him well and making him out to actually be good.
Yes.
Was a good thing, but I think as you were saying to me off air, the Roland Emmerich Godzilla is far more entertaining. I'd rather watch that again. And also you've got that Jamiroquai track on it, and there's one Puff Daddy and Jimmy Page doing
it's quite a dirty riff, that, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah, because basically, because I went to Wales a few weeks ago on a holiday, and we had a rainy day, and the local supermarket was flogging the old one for £3. I thought, fuck it, I'll give it another shot. And I fell asleep on the bit I hate, where it turns into Jurassic Park, and they're in fucking Madison Square Garden with a load of raptor rip-offs.
Yeah.
So I missed that bit, right? I just saw, you know, like 3/4 of the film that are all right.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it. And I just thought, just the creature design isn't amazing. But if you just changed the name of the film, like, if you just hadn't called it Godzilla, I think people would have really liked it.
I think you're right there.
And it's got the best, like, out of the both of the Hollywood Godzillas, I think it's got the greatest scene of the two, where there's some fisherman guy, kind of Godzilla's first appearance, it's like very Jaws-like.
Yeah.
Scares the shit out of fishermen. I don't think the second one really got that impact at any point. Although they'd ripped that scene off badly, I thought, with the... There's a kind of tsunami with a dog running away. I didn't mind the dog bit, but it seemed to be like they're just doing a bigger budget version of that scene.
Yeah. I think what's depressing about the new Godzilla is the fact that Gareth Edwards has not only got clearance for Godzilla 2 and 3, but he's also doing one of the standalone Star Wars movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, oh, nice one. What going to be? Yeah. It's going to be that fucking... I don't know who said this to me, but that shit drone on Empire Strikes Back just dicking about on Hoth. 2 hours of him mincing about. And I was like, nice one. Cheers.
My brain's not working.
Nice.
I've got a fly buzzing around us now. Yeah. What my one issue I had with it, right? It seemed like the fucking biggest scene in it. Some knobs just jumping out of a plane for absolutely no reason, when it could have just driven into town.
Yeah.
Just a million fucking roads into San Francisco, presumably.
Yeah.
Just because one of them got trashed. Surely you could still get in.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, they fly in and they've got, like, flares on. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, let's let the fucking monsters know where we are.
Yeah, and then one of them, I remember distinctly, one guy lands on a skyscraper and he's like a sniper. It's like, what possible good is a dude on the top of a building going to do with a sniper rifle against... fucking three giant monsters.
Exactly.
So there, he's just, if anything, he's putting himself in more danger, because there's a likelihood that the monsters are going to tussle and knock his building over, so he's fucked.
And fucking Ken Watanabe, hire like a shit hot actor, and just employ him just to look concerned for the whole fucking film. At one point, his biggest scenes, he just holds out his broken watch from Hiroshima. Yeah. It's like, and that's it, that's all he does.
Yeah, he's an Scientologist old guy, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's supposed to be the guy in charge of... He's basically the guy who caused it all.
Yeah, that's
true.
He's
supposed to be the guy sorting it out. And every time he's asked to do anything, he just looks concerned, pulls the fucking watch out. He pissed butt. And at the end, he breaks into a little smile. Gives us a little treat. Because I really like Ken Watanabe. I've seen some really cool stuff he's been in. I think it was called Dreams or something like that, or his old Japanese film. It's like this: his old squadron come back to kind of haunt him.
Right.
So they died under his control. That was a great one. I can't remember the proper name. So what was next? What was the next?
X-Men,
yeah.
X-Men, Days of Future Past.
You liked it, didn't you?
Loved it.
Yeah.
Again, another film that pissed all over the Avengers.
what's all this Avengers hate coming from?
The Avengers is just a big TV episode, and I don't know if did we cover this on the first pod when I started hating on Joss Whedon?
Okay, right.
Did we?
I don't know. For making better films than Michael Bay.
No way. Joss Whedon's just a good ideas guy, and credit to him, you know, he's invented some awesome stuff. But as a director, he's atrocious. As a piece of filmmaking, The Avengers is woeful. It's terrible. It's just big TV. That's all it is.
It's a good blockbuster. I don't think I'm going to spend my life watching it, but it was great in the cinema.
It was entertaining.
Hulk fucking nailing a space eel was pretty sweet.
That's pretty good. And
made me swear in front of a mother and child in the cinema. So I went on my own to some random screening, and it was still dead busy. I swore in front of some little kid.
What did you say?
Just when Hulk took the eel down, I was like, fuck. Couldn't resist it.
I liked him beating up Loki. Just beating him like a ragdoll.
Yeah. Loki guy's great.
Yeah, Loki's brilliant.
He's ace, that guy. I don't know, sort of came out of nowhere for me, because I'm not a big period drama sort of guy. So, and it sounds like he's really into it as well. Mm. He's basically a bit of a lovey, but well into his comics. And Fran Martin was telling me he wrote some piece for The Guardian about how comics are the new kind of, you know, mythological tales of the modern age.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
So, yeah, I've got time for that.
Yeah, he's good.
But X-Men.
X-Men, you saw it?
I did. I liked it.
I liked it a lot. And I think...
Singer back of the wheel.
Yeah. It's a shame he couldn't be on the press tour to promote it because of dubious charges.
What?
Some underage sex business.
Whoa. Yes. Has he been pedo-fiddled?
Pedo-fiddling. Pedo-fiddling on the roof.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. But yeah, no, X-Men, it was cracking. I loved it a lot. A lot of people have a real beef with Halle Berry playing Storm, which I don't see.
Right, I don't know why. She's alright.
She's fine, yeah. Fine, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, it's good. And that Quicksilver kid, he stole the show.
Yeah, totally. I don't know how that Kick-Ass guy is going to follow that.
I know.
Yeah, I liked it. I think my only issue is probably... I thought First Class was great.
Yeah.
And essentially it's sort of First Class with Wolverine in it. Yeah. Kind of, but not really, because Singer sort of brings it back to his own X-Men, which struck me as a bit vain. But it was based on some story, some book, isn't it?
So yeah. Off. But also, I think it righted the wrongs of X-Men 3, and I think it's still largely based in the 70s. I think they're doing like a prequel trilogy. So even at the end of, if you're not seeing Future Past by now and you're listening to this, then that's your fault. But spoiler alert, stop listening now.
Being an asshole.
Everyone comes back at the end, and it's nice to see Cyclops and Jean Grey, and even freaking Kelsey Grammer as Beast. So
yeah,
that's all a nice touch. And it's like, oh, what are we going to do now? And obviously the next one's going to be Apocalypse.
And that's
word on the street is that that's going to be set in the 80s. So they've gone from First Class in the 60s, this in the 70s. So they're still sticking with the First Class lot, which is good, because I'm loving McAvoy and Fassbender.
They're a good combo.
Definitely.
They've really fucking cast that nicely, although it's kind of a shame that neither of them are going to get to do DC stuff, because I think they'd both make a good Batman Joker for me. After seeing Filth, fucking McAvoy.
Yeah.
Sweet Joker. Really good fucking Joker.
God, yeah.
Never thought I'd say that, because I always used to think he was a bit of a prick.
But
he's really grown on me.
Yeah, I think he's. I really liked him. He was in the first series of Shameless, and that was televisual gold. It went off the bio seriously, Shameless, but the first series of that was some of the best TV I've ever seen.
Right,
quality. Right. But he was brilliant in that. But yeah, Filth, quality movie.
I love his. That shocked Melissa with it one night.
Happy anniversary, babe. Frank Sidebot impression alone is gold.
It's not as good as yours, though, is it?
Monty! What are you wearing, Monty?
I didn't realise how much you sounded quite like Frank Sidebot until we started doing the podcast.
Thank you.
And what a boring cunt I am. Dulcet tone twat.
Oh, don't worry about it. Maybe get off the potatoes.
So what else have we got? That's it, isn't it?
Boom! There's got to be more stuff than that. What else came out?
I talked about Raid 2 last time, so I won't go into that, but that's go and check it out. You've not seen it, have you?
No, I'd like to. I really want to see Edge of Tomorrow, Tom Cruise one. Tom Cruise Groundhog Day.
Tom Cruise is ace. I don't know. There's loads of films that think that looks really good, and then you realise it's got Tom Cruise or Matt fucking Damon in it. It just turns me off.
Really?
Like Elysium, like... It looks fucking sweet, but it's just got a knobhead in it.
Have you seen Elysium?
No, is it good?
Is it alright? Yeah. It's good. Charlton Copley plays the villain in it, and it's brilliant. But no, it's Elysium's a cracking movie.
Because it's District 9 bloke, isn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful. But I'm with you. Matt Damon doesn't really bring anything.
Yeah.
I think Tom Cruise. The problem with Tom Cruise is you're watching Tom Cruise. He's never immersed into the character enough. Apart from, say, Collateral or Interview with a Vampire, that's when he kind of disappears. Yeah. Collateral's quality.
Can I pull out my Collateral theory? No, I'll save it.
Yeah, we'll save it for conspiracy joint at the end.
I reckon I'm going to brew up, so should we play a song?
Let's play a song.
Go for it.
We're going to go with Black Iron Hearse by the awesome Wild Sons of Gentlemen, Sheffield two-piece, who are dishing out some fine country hillbilly blues, and they're fucking ace. Yeah, Black Iron Hearse.
About my lawless days, but I want to tell you a thing or two about the night that changed my ways. They found me in the mountains, I was drunk and I was frail. They said, give it up, son, there's nowhere to run, you're coming on back to jail. So they took me to the station, made me stand there in the pouring rain, with my head in the sack and looking at my bag, waiting for a midnight train. Now we're rattling through them canyons, boys, a deafening roar of steam, with a little voice inside my head, the things weren't quite as they seemed. I guess them boys at the depot failed to mention that something wasn't right as they mentioned. They never said that old train was cursed, or that we were riding a long black iron horse. The folks there were shackled knee by knee. Well, I realized each pair of eyes was staring right at me. Well, I recall each knave I put in the grave, each pine box I filled. Well, all every face in that awful place belonged to a man I'd killed. And although I'd never seen the devil driving a train before, well, I knew that's who it was, and he pulled back that cabin door. He gazed at me with eyes ablaze in a way that chilled my soul. Said, listen, son, for the things you done, you can quit your groveling and start shoveling coal. Just like that old man in Pulpit used to tell, that really is as such a place as hell. But I never pulled my fire on a railroad, but then I never knew to whom my soul I owed. I'm just a rolling along like iron horse, I really couldn't tell you which is worse. No, I'm a godforsaken man, or that rat shovel burning up my hands.
Okay, one thing should mention is we've got a Facebook page.
Facebook, check us out.
So you can sign up. You can see what attractive men we are.
Yeah, there's some wonderful images of us there out on the lash.
Yeah.
With the K-Dog.
Yeah, yeah,
he's the stig, really, isn't he?
shout out
to K-Dog.
Yeah, shout out to the big K. And you can go online and you can have a row with James.
Yeah, just tell me how...
On the public sector dollar.
Tell me what you think.
Time to piss away. Arguing with potential followers.
Yeah, well, they've already followed at that point. If they're arguing.
I liked the way that after we did the first episode, I had like a handful of my friends say really positive, upbeat things. And it seemed like a couple of people you were friends with just used it as yet another way to... make it a personal attack on you.
Exactly. Not mentioning any fucking names. Martin, you big twat. Michael Bay, shit. Yeah.
We should give a shout out to the fighting guys. We've got a lot of fighters following us.
Yeah, so I guess, well, thanks, Martin, for hooking us up with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I like it. So, yeah, have a fight on us.
Yeah, think of us when you're pummeling each other or trying to steal a peanut out of someone's pocket.
Oh, terrible. No, if shit ever went south, it's good to know we've got some tough guys on our side.
That's right.
So I was a bit of a jiu-jitsu man in my day.
Really?
I used to kick some ass before I became fat and old. So yeah, Transformers. I'm a resident Transformers expert.
Yes, Transformers 4 came out to the terrible, terrible reviews. It's the lowest performing critical.
Really?
Transformers yet. Well, right. Last time it was like. Each one is dwindling returns on Rotten Tomatoes. It's at 18% of positive reviews.
Right, right.
But as Michael Bay said, he doesn't make it for the critics. He makes it for the punters who are voting with their money and their feet. And this is making millions. It's the biggest film of the year so far.
Yeah. How did it sit for you?
I'll be honest. It's not as good as Transformers 3. which nailed it for me.
Sets the bar pretty low. Sorry.
there's a lot to like about it. It's long, but that's not what's to like about it. What's to like about it is it looks beautiful. Shot in IMAX. IMAX sequences look the business.
I didn't realise it. Yeah.
There's some impressive stuff, and people say, oh, Transformers shit, Michael Bay shit. It's like, but what about the craft that's gone into this? The people who work for ILM. Each film pushes ILM's artists to the crazy degree, and what you're watching is the fruits of a lot of fucking collaboration, and it looks lovely, regardless of how it flows as a film. I think another thing Michael Bay said was that he wants especially Transformers to be like a spectacle where, say a family's going to have a family day out. It's like, oh, let's go to some theme park and spend hundreds of dollars. Oh, let's go and watch this ridiculous film that's just going to be pure eye candy.
Matt, speaking of spectacles, because the second film is entirely based around a pair of spectacles, isn't it? Sure, you're not getting
one,
confused.
The first one is based on spectacles.
Oh, right, okay.
Get your Transformers. Don't step to me with your Transformers knowledge.
Well, Grimlock deliver?
Grimlock delivers, but people are disappointed. He doesn't speak. Yeah. He rocks up for the last 20 minutes, and you sat through 2.5 hours by then.
Right.
So,
what the fuck?
Yeah, I can understand why people are going to be bothered by that.
Say what?
I know. And basically, you've got human. Essentially, Transformers are persona non grata, and the CIA or the FBI. It's the CIA, I think. They're trying to wipe out Transformers, and they're actually selling the corpses to this kind of tech firm who are making, like, Transformers for our own military purposes, basically.
Yeah.
So you've got Galvatron, who's actually based on Megatron, and they've got this really shit way of transforming, which is a bit of a...
It's got Galvatron in it.
Yeah, Galvatron's in it.
From the old Transformers, the movie.
Exactly.
I had a bit of time for Galvatron.
Galvatron's badass.
And Rodimus Prime.
I love that Rod and Rodimus, but he was responsible for Optimus's death in the classic movie, but yeah. We're not talking about that one.
Well,
here.
Technically, he was Hot Rod at that point.
Before he got his magical trailer
that appears and disappears.
Yeah, exactly. That's a point. Mass shifting. Always been a thing in Transformers from the olden days, where Megatron transforms into a gun that Starscream can wield. Where's his stuff gone? Where's Optimus Prime trailer goes when he stands up?
Hmm.
In this film, the villain is a fella called Lockdown, who's a bounty hunter. He's neither Decepticon nor Autobot. He's just working for the government, and he's like, I want Optimus Prime, and in return you help me get Prime, I'll give you this thing that'll help you do whatever you want to do. It's fucking convoluted as hell, but he's badass. Lockdown is a real badass. And he turns into a Lamborghini,
which is
fine, but whenever he transforms, he's a robot that's the exact same size as Optimus Prime, to have a badass fight with him. It's like, so where's he getting all his extra bits from?
Sounds a bit suspect.
Very suspect. Another thing about Lockdown was created for a Transformers animated series that came out between the first and the second movies. It was like Teen Titans style.
Okay.
And in that, Lockdown was a badass, again, voiced by Lance Henriksen.
Really? Right.
Badass of all bit part actors.
Is he voicing it?
No. Oh, they missed the trick. No Lance Henriksen.
Terrible.
So, so far this sounds like a bunch of whinging. But it's great. There's a dude in it called Crosshairs, voiced by John DiMaggio, who plays Bender in Futurama.
Really, right?
So he's got like a coat, and he's parachuting, and he's a right suave. He's got an English accent. He's pretty badass. John Goodman plays Hound, who's essentially he's Sully from Monsters Inc. again.
Yeah,
he's quite good. He's got one line. He's like, I'm like a fat ballerina taking names and carving scalps or something. It's fucking atrocious, really.
Sounds like you've sullied his performance.
Well, yeah. And Ken Watanabe's in it as well.
Hey.
As Drift, who...
It's a guy holding a watch who sighs a lot.
He speaks in haikus and has a lot of beef with other Transformers for some reason.
Right.
And he's a triple changer. Transformed into a nice, suave Bugatti sports car as well, the helicopter.
Right.
Pretty badass. But another thing, actually, I know we should move on. Another thing, I've got more beef with this film than I actually thought I had. For a film called Transformers... Crosshairs and Hound never actually get seen transforming. There's a lot of off-screen transformation. You hear the noise. Yeah, and it's like you've gone from a bot to what you guess is their vehicle because it's the same colour.
Yeah,
but you never actually see them transform. Bumblebee and Optimus Prime get a lot of transformation. G1 style Prime is mint, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Because if non-Transformers types, that just means Basically, it looks like the original Optimus Prime, right?
Yeah, like a flat nose truck. And he's hiding out, basically. He got kind of shot, and he's hiding out. And that's where Mark Wahlberg finds him.
It's a good trailer, by the way.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer and thought, this actually looks all right. Fucking Grimlock appears out of nowhere.
Yeah. I imagine it is good. Oh, yeah, even though you've waited a long time for the Dinobots to arrive. I've seen it twice now at the cinema, and both times when you have that sequence where Optimus gets them together, it's like, we're going to go and bring the pain, and they all start transforming from robot into dinosaur. I'm starting filling up. I'm not joking. If it had gone on a beat longer, if they'd have dragged that sequence out a bit longer, I would have been moist at the eyes.
A rattling belt was heard in cinema.
Uh oh. Pants off time for McVie.
So seeing as we're on Meat for the Beast, could you give it a rating in terms of meat based products? Out of 10,
I'll give it 8 pieces of tender rare fillet steak.
8 out of 10. Okay, but well, you've just been slagging it off, haven't you?
No, I've been trying to be diplomatic. I've been trying to be objective. I can see why people hate it, because it is. It can. I can see why people say it's tedious. I can see why there's so much. Actually, yeah. No, I'm not going to go into it. There's more slagging off to do. But ultimately, I still liked it.
Yeah, yeah, that's good.
Well, it's probably, yeah. It's of the four. It's not as good as 3 or 1.
Okay.
But it is good.
Yeah,
because
they're
all good, really.
Yeah, I reckon I'll go and see it.
You want to see Grimlock doing some stuff? There's some excellent stuff. There's a lot to like. There's a lot to hate. There's a lot to like.
Because we were going to go and see it together on the Manchester IMAX, but I got ripped off.
If it's still on, I'll go and see it. But yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll be up for it. I suppose it'll be on for the summer, won't it? Presumably.
Yeah, so. But I think there's a lot of shit coming out. Like, well, Cloudy. No, what's it called? How to Train Your Dragon. That's taking over the IMAX now.
Right, right, yeah. K Dog's favourite. Pride of his collection. Sorry, man. Okay, moving on. One thing that came back from the first episode was a lot of people liked our insights into the Dark Knight Rises, like our kind of twist on the ending. Like,
yeah.
So I've been on the lookout for some kind of film insight. You know, an alternative take on something in a film. And,
so what you found out?
And I was rewatching Flight of the Navigator recently.
Because
it's my kind of nod-off film. Because it was a favourite of my childhood.
Right.
So I just put it on in bed and use it, just nod off to it now and again. And I realised quite recently that the main kid in it is actually a dangerous sociopath.
Really? On what grounds?
Based on what happens at the end. Because just to sum up the film for anyone that's not seen it, basically a kid falls down this kind of hole in the woods in the 70s, wakes up in the mid-80s, and everybody thinks he's been abducted or murdered. Something like 9 years have passed.
Right.
And then he has to figure out what the hell's happened. Turns out he was abducted by a UFO and dropped, you know, like because of, I don't know, light speed kind of rules. He's ended up back in the mid-80s. Anyway, so his folks are obviously delighted to be reunited with their kid, but he's wanting to find out what the hell happened. So he goes to NASA. Load of shit goes off. He ends up being back in the spaceship. At the end of the film, everything's kind of gone wrong. His family are being hassled. He's come back to see them in the spaceship.
Right.
Realises he doesn't fit in there anymore and says to Max, the sort of main alien bloke, like, can you take me back to the 70s so I can just have a normal life? Which he does. Right. And so he gets back to the 70s. He wakes up pretty much when he was abducted. So no one even knows he's been away. And you think, oh, that's nice. He's back in his own reality.
Mm.
And he can get on with his life. Now, the problem I've got... Well, first... And then you kind of think, oh, maybe he dreamt that. So the filmmakers throw in... There's an alien guy he became friends with who stowed away in his bag.
Little thing that... Like, bat dangly thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like a little alien twat. And
alien twat.
And he's having...
That's the title for the episode. Little alien twat.
And he appears in this guy's bag, and he's So it's like, yeah, so all that happened. They're saying to you, no, it wasn't a dream. All this happened. Happy ending.
Right.
Problem is, the fact that Alien Guy still exists meant that it did happen.
Mm.
But he's never going to, in his own reality, he's never going to meet that alien. That's never going to take place. So where the hell did this alien come from? Right. What it means is that when he went back in time, he not only went back in time, he also created parallel universe.
Yeah.
So in the reality, he's just left. Essentially, his parents have just lost a kid for the second time.
Yeah.
Crushing. And they've also got the reporters of the world hounding them to death.
Feds in their ass as well.
Yeah, yeah, they're in a lot of trouble. And all they wanted to do was be with their kid. They didn't care that he was 9 years younger than he should be. They just wanted to be reunited.
Yeah.
And he's essentially left them dangling. He just shows up in a UFO and goes, I don't belong here anymore. Fucks off. And then they're left there crying.
Well,
and they still exist.
But doesn't that depend on your beliefs in like time and what, like the butterfly effect and that kind of caper? For every event that happens, there's a load of things that could come out of it. Do you actually believe that that's a thing?
But yeah, but if the alien guy had appeared in a bag and then disappeared, I think that would imply that reality is gone. You know what I mean? But the fact he's still solid, he came from somewhere, right?
And well, he's just stowed away in his bag from the spaceship that he was on. Yeah?
Yeah, but
so that makes perfect sense.
But for him to still be there, he's had to have come from there, hasn't he? He's had to have lived that reality where they met and became friends.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. Well, how come why would he stow away in his bag then, like some sort of alien pedo?
You've got like, say, you've got if you want, you've got two timelines, and you've got this ship that can go wherever.
Yeah.
So the kid goes from his future one, if you want, but goes back to his other one. All the while, he's in this ship that is, say, immune to temporal business. That's why he didn't age, right?
Yeah.
So in the ship, say, time stops, if you want, for want of a better phrase.
Yeah.
So this little alien twat's still going to be hanging out there, whatever. So the fact that he gets in the bag of the kid, it makes no odds. There's no, I don't think there's any implication either way.
Well,
I think he just stows away, and just as that kid gets out there at the same age, that little alien dude is with him, just hanging out. I've got no beef with that.
Well, I think that
I'm with you for leaving the future parents in a terrible life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's never going to get to see that, and the parents he's going to be caring about is actual parents, not his future parents.
That's why I think
why would you care about your future parents? It's like they're strangers. You want the parents you've got now.
That's the problem. He is going to get older and figure that out, though. And also, we've no idea how old that alien fucker is. He could just be like embryonic. He could fucking end up Chewie size, and then he's going to have to stash him somewhere.
That's a good
so
point.
He doesn't get taken away by NASA or whatever.
Yeah.
And could get him into a lot of trouble one day.
Well, if he does grow up to be like that, just keep him in the cellar, sloth style. Like,
yeah.
You know, we don't want to keep him downstairs.
Right. And he didn't seem particularly intelligent, did he? Like, and be just loitering around in his bedroom. Hello, David. Apparently, in real life, the kid got done for armed robbery recently.
Jesus.
Yeah, he was on the run. There was like a mugshot going around the web.
Really?
So yeah, maybe it was because of this exact issue that's haunted him.
Maybe. Maybe it was just gutted he made a shit film.
Oh, terrible, terrible.
Shite of the Navigator. There's another title. It's gold.
Yeah,
I think I mentioned it too. Big has similar dark implications. Everyone loves Big.
Yeah.
Because they love 80s Tom Hanks, but the implications of that movie are horrendous. His mum's life is in turmoil. He's disappeared. Yeah. Thinks he's been kidnapped.
Thinks he's been pedo-fiddled.
Exactly. He's still like, what, 12 or whatever. Gets busy with some chick in a toy shop. And granted, you know, it's charming. He's got his, you know, this child's imagination, and he does really well in his career.
Yeah.
But then he comes back and it's like, what? Like, that kid is going to have to grow up the next 8 years or whatever until he becomes an adult. And he's going to be like, this is shit. I'm trapped in this shit kid's body. I can't go and pull that hot chick that I nailed last week. And also, what am I going to do for a career? It's just, I think his life is ruined. He's tasted the high life, and he will never have that again. I think the implications of it are awful. I never want to see Big again as long as I live. I think it's a horrible film.
He never seals a deal, though, does he? Because
No, I think it's implied.
I think as a 12-year-old in a man, if I suddenly found myself in a man's body with an opportunity, I would have probably gone for it.
I think you would have done, yeah. But yeah, it's a dark film, dude.
Because they do address the abduction site, because she kind of goes into his room and finds a man wearing his clothes. It's just kind of passed off as a comedy moment, but it's not at all, is it?
Exactly. Can you imagine that?
They're not even getting a film anymore, would it? But like if brought you a cup of tea in the morning, there's an old man in bed wearing your outfit, going, "Oh, it's me."
What have you done with him?
With the morning wood, needing some attention.
Well, it ain't going to suck itself, am I?
I have to cut off this fucking episode out. So yeah, maybe might play another song.
Yeah, what we're going to play, Jim?
Well, I'm going to play one of my own.
Shameless self-promotion, but it's fair enough. I mean, you played some Clench last time, so that's fair enough.
Yeah, in a band called Friends of Batman. We're playing next week, but I don't think this is going to go out before then. Playing at Tramlines Festival, as are the Clench.
Yeah.
Which is a little Sheffield city fest.
So tell us about the song you're going to play.
It's an oldie. It's called something doing the dog or something.
Aru?
It's pretty. Oh yeah, Aru. That's it. Yeah, it's kind of. It's pretty immature. I don't know what inspired me to write it at all.
You're a responsible dog owner.
I think it was a kind of about comparing the act of lovemaking to doing your business, which is a pretty fucked up song concept, really.
You liking the lovemaking, telling people.
So yeah, this is it. It's Aru, and yeah, here we go.
Strapping your noses, strap on your tails. We got a new position, it's illegal in Wales. Kiss me like an animal, let me sniff you too. Sure, be howling from a rooftop when I'm dogging your bush. Aru, 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 aru. We're doing the dog. We're doing the dog. We're doing the dog. We're doing the dog. Don't give us pedigree, chomper, chomper, chappy, cause we're not hungry that way.
Hey!
And when you shake your tail, I feel sleazy, make me feel so gay. In a happy way.
Aru, 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 aru. We're doing the dog. We do the dog. We're doing the dog. We're doing the dog. We're doing the dog. The dog. We're doing the dog. We do the dog. The dog. We're doing the dog. We do the dog. The dog. We're doing the dog. We're the dog. The dog. That's sorry.
In the milkman's leg, how we can take on all the Dobermans, Rottweilers, just like a Yorkshire Terrier.
I'm gonna bury ya.
Cool, lovely stuff from Friends of Batman there.
Yeah.
Nice work, Jim.
That's very kind of you. So very kind. One thing to quickly interject. That was the cello on that song was played by Kendall Reed, who is I think it's called Tall Cello Man. He's got a Facebook page, and he had the audacity to fuck us off years ago, go to America, become really talented and successful on his cello, and played on Dexter, the soundtrack. And I think he was even on fucking Breaking Bad.
Oh, shit.
So in the unlikely event Kendall hears this, fuck you. You talented bastard.
Yeah, but really not.
Well, yeah, yeah. Nice one for achieving something.
So speaking of awesome TV, I think that a show that's near and dear to both our hearts, I think, is Trailer Park Boys, a little known show. It never aired over here. It's currently available on Netflix, the entirety of it, and I can't rate it highly enough.
Me too.
There's something, so it's kind of a bit depressing if you start thinking about it too much, but it's funny as hell, and the cast of characters is just, it's something to behold.
Yeah.
The best drunken antics you'll ever see, and it's just so well written, and it's funny as hell.
If you can appreciate an on-screen drunk, I think Jim Leahy takes the crown for me.
Absolutely. He's perfect. I don't even think the guy drinks in real life.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw him on some... I YouTubed him just to see what he's like, because so used to Leahy. And he was on some really conservative chat show.
Right.
And the host launches into a sort of Daily Mail-style attack on him. And he handled it by becoming Leahy.
Oh, nice.
Fumbling around with, we all like a good drinking, don't we, sir?
We drinking boots. I am the liquor.
And some great shitisms. They like to make their own shitty phrases. Like, can you think of a good one?
Shithawks are circling.
Yeah, yeah. And shitwolves is a good one.
Shitwolves are coming. But yeah, if we had more time, we could really do a whole entire special about how awesome Trailer Park Boys is.
Yeah.
But if you have access to Netflix and you've been on the fence, just watch it. Get through the first series, and there's more Bubbles action, because Bubbles doesn't really appear too much in the first series.
Right, right.
But I think series 4, series 6...
hits its stride big time.
It's a blinding show, and well worth your time.
If you make it through to meet Philadelphia Collins, that's where shit starts to get real.
Fucking
for me.
Right. Philadelphia Collins and Sons.
Who you told me earlier, he's died.
Yeah,
he's dead now.
Yeah, Phil Collins died. I think he shot his stuff for Trailer Park Boys 3, the movie, and then I think he had a. He had a massive gut, didn't he? He wasn't like,
yeah.
Like he didn't have like fat legs and fat arms, but he just had a massive round belly, like you kind of like Ice-T's wife's ass. In that you could, if he was stood up straight, you could rest a drink on it. You know what I mean? It was just round, serious gut. Oh, fuck. Bam!
So yeah, big up Trailer Park Boys. So I've got to bail, so we're going to just promote the next episode, which is going to be our first special.
First special.
Yeah, apart from episode 2, which is special because it didn't have this one pod motherfucker on it.
You dick ass Connolly strikes again. Well, you're a fucking flat
Yeah, we're gonna do a special all about Batman. We're gonna cover
the best superhero ever.
Yeah, it's debatable, but I think he is for me, yeah, definite.
It's not debatable. It's science. You're saying it. I'm saying it. It's science fact.
Yeah, and we're gonna do our best to get our friend Hal on.
Yeah, we'll try and get Hal in, and we'll talk about the games.
Because Hal's a game expert, writes a game column, and he's well up on his bat games.
Yeah, he knows his stuff.
Because I'm a bit of a novice in that area, although the Arkham games look fucking sweet. But the only Bat game I've ever owned is... and I've got two, actually. I've still got a SNES version, Batman Returns. Pretty cool.
I was going to Batman on the NES. Was blinding.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
Really good game.
And I've got the... What's it called?
Difficult as hell.
I've got the Brave and the Bold game as well, which is a bit crap.
Yeah, it's a bit
neat. It looks nice, but it's a shit play.
Yeah. So yeah, Batman special coming soon. And I guess... That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're done. So yeah, tune in next time for.
Sorry for being hungover and sluggish, but
that's worked out all right.
We've got to cut loose, haven't we? Every now and then, we work hard. We've got to play hard too.
It's the way we roll. It's the way we roll. Yeah, and don't forget to join. Check out our Facebook page, and if you're listening to this as a download from Podomatic, then if you subscribe on iTunes, you'll just get. this bullshit automatically. It will just appear on your device.
Yeah, but if you want to be a bit of a lentil belt hipster, and I'm not subscribing to the globalisation of iTunes, then get on your Podmatic and find it organically. Either way, welcome aboard.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks for listening. And let's sign off. So thanks from me.
Thanks from me. See you next time.
Let's give the beast.
To me.
Give him his fucking meat.
Meat.
Throw him a few fucking sausages. What else have we got? There we go.